Well, it's time for us to check in with Small State Big History. SmallStateBigHistory.com, the online review of Rhode Island history, where we find out a lot of fascinating things about places and people that we thought we knew about. And this week, it's all about Abraham Lincoln. And maybe it'll surprise you, the point of the article here, Christian McBurney, founder of Small State Big History, is the author. Christian, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Great to be here.
Good to have you with us. Abraham Lincoln failed to receive a single vote from Rhode Island?
In the first roll call of votes at the Republican convention held in Chicago in 1860, he didn't get one vote from the Rhode Island delegation.
Now, how did that come about? Wasn't it a situation, well, as we understand the delegates, the way that things are kind of choreographed now, the delegates don't have a choice in this matter. It sounds like this wasn't the case.
Correct. They could vote however they wanted. As usual, the backstory comes down to Rhode Island politics. Is that a surprise?
Shocked, stunned, and amazed.
Yeah, but first let me talk about, to set the scene a little bit, because Lincoln was not well known coming into the 1860 election and nominating convention. He was known as, he did the debate of Stephen Douglas
right.
About the slavery issue. He only held one federal post, one term as a congressman back in the 1830s, and he was 40s, and he was tossed out after one term. So he was from the Midwest back in those days. Some Midwesterners were not taken seriously in frontier culture and all. So he had an uphill battle, but he gave a very important speech in Manhattan called the Cooper Union Lecture, and he really laid out his anti-slavery position and that he really wanted to limit the extension of slavery to Western territories, and he thought Congress had the power to do that, made a very powerful impression on Republicans there. And so that really got a lot of national publicity. And then he followed up after that. A Rhode Islander said, hey, he was in Manhattan, and he said, can you speak in Providence the next night? So he, he agreed. The day after the election, he took him 8 hours. He had to switch like trains like three or four times.
Wow.
From New York City to Providence.
Yeah, that would have been unheard of to make a trip like that in one night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not one day. I think so. He gave the lecture on the night of the 27th, and the first thing in the morning, he had no time to enjoy it. He was on a train to Providence, and he did arrive on time, and he spoke at the Railroad Hall in the railroad station. It was the biggest indoor lecture place where you could speak, and the place was packed. And he was, gave the same lecture, and it was very well received. And then he spoke at a few other places in New England, and he came back and he spoke in Woonsocket. And that was also created a lot of excitement, and it was very well received. So you would have thought that when the Republican convention was held in May that, let's vote for Lincoln. They were looking for a moderate. A lot of the electors, Republican electors, were looking for a moderate, and Lincoln looked like he fit the bill.
And he was a known quantity. I mean, you have to believe that, like as then as now, the turnout to a political rally would have still been a lot of people who were politically oriented. I mean, things were different then, but you had to figure, I don't think it's much of a stretch to figure that somebody that had an interest in politics and was involved in the political machine at that time would have turned out for something like this. So he would have been a known quantity, wouldn't he?
He was. He was known as an anti-slavery person, but no one had ever heard him speak before in the East Coast. Republican Party was new. It lost the election soundly in 1856. So this was only the second time that a Republican candidate was going to run. And it was mostly based on anti-slavery position and not to stop the South from the slavery business. And Lincoln, was for that. But there were some in Rhode Island and in the Republican Party, more conservatives, hey, we don't want to alienate the South. We don't want to start a war.
I see. It was a trade. Yeah, a civil war, definite civil war, not to mention a trade war.
Yes, and trade war as well, because a lot of the mills in Rhode Island were providing goods for the South, including clothing their enslaved people. So there was concern about that. And what happened was there was an election for governor in April of 1860, and the incumbent Republican was not elected. Instead, a guy named Seth Paddleford was nominated as a Republican Party candidate, and he was perceived as not being a moderate. He was perceived as being a radical and, you know, more anti-slavery. And that created a real rift within the Republican Party. And when election time came along, William Sprague, the Democrat, won because the Republican split, and there was a third party candidate. And so then William Sprague, the industrialist, wealthy Rhode Islander, won as a Democrat. So that was a real shocker to Republicans.
So the convention comes along, and how many delegates were from Rhode Island?
Just eight.
Okay, so it wasn't a huge number. We send more today, don't we?
Yes, I believe so.
I mean, it seems like there's a whole contingent that goes to both the Democratic and Republican conventions. So we had eight individuals. Of course, there were a lot fewer states then, but Rhode Island still was significant in its number and all of that. And the bottom line is they showed up, came time to vote, and Rhode Island says, we cast none of our eight ballots for this fellow, the tall guy with the hat and the beard. What happened next?
Well, I think what happened was that this Seth Paddleford incident, that he was perceived as a radical, affected the Rhode Island delegates so much that they said, we really got to look for a moderate. We can only win if we get a moderate in there, and we don't want to start a civil war. And so they focused on this guy named Judge McLean, who was a Supreme Court justice. He would run for president every 4 years, but no one took him very seriously. And he was also 75 years old, which back then was almost like being 90 years old.
Right.
Because they just aged quicker back then. And so, as a matter of fact, he wound up dying like 2 months after he would have been nominated had he been president. So,
So
Rhode Island gave him more votes in the first round than any other state in the country. Can you believe that? So something was going on there, right? Something was going on. But the good news is that the favorite son, William Seward from New York, didn't win in the first round. So that was, Lincoln was kind of okay with Rhode Island going for McLean as long as they didn't vote for Seward.
Yeah.
And Seward was perceived as more radical than Lincoln. Lincoln was perceived as more moderate. So in the second round, Lincoln got more votes from Rhode Island. He picked up four votes. And he also came within three votes of beating Seward.
Wow.
So then the third round came, and according to Ed Acorn, who wrote a very good book, the best book on the Republican convention and at which Lincoln was nominated, he said Rhode Island's vote kind of put him over the top in terms of the numbers needed. So, although they didn't know it at the time.
Wow. It's so interesting the way that the whole procedure went, and how in some ways it hasn't changed, in some ways it has. And you could learn a lot by really studying what went on in this election as well as in a lot of other elections. Not having read all of your article, which we all should read on smallstatebighistory.com, it seems to me that this is not so much about Lincoln. I mean, the fact that he was Abraham Lincoln and couldn't get a vote in Rhode Island, that's big news. But it was more about it seems that it's more about the procedure and the process, the convention process, isn't it?
Well, I think it's more, you're right, it was not mostly about Lincoln. It was about, you know, who can we elect or nominate who's going to win the election. And it was thought that the most moderate person, there were some contested states, you know, swing states back then were New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Connecticut. Those were swing states. And who can win that state? And it was thought that the more conservative Republican, the better. But, you know, it was just ridiculous that they focused on McLean and not Lincoln. They must have thought that Lincoln was a little bit on the radical side. He did have this divided Union speech where, you know, we have to either go, we either country has to be all free or, you know, all slave.
And right.
A house divided cannot stand. And that might have been perceived as a bit too radical for some of the Rhode Island businessmen. And you're right to focus on, yeah, this is, you know, today we have elections, nominating elections. Every state has a nominating election. So we don't really have the system that they had back then where
yeah.
you just, you know, you send delegates and they can vote however they want.
Right. They are committed and they are spoken for and all of that. And when that really that's been the rule without an exception for the past few elections. It wasn't always that way, and that's where things got really interesting. As recently as 1968, wasn't there a brokered convention in 76?
1976?
Yeah, or was it
1876?
No. Well, I was talking 1976, but you raise up many of them were brokered back in 1876 and into the fairly modern age. I mean, in 1956 and 60, it was unknown until the very, very end, and then into the late 60s. But I was thinking that there was either a Jimmy Carter or one of those conventions that was kind of suspenseful for a while.
Yeah, I don't recall.
I don't remember anyway. Sure. Because we go back further than that in small state big history. And this is a great story. Rhode Island fails to vote for Lincoln at nominating convention by Christian McBurney. You can read it now on smallstatebighistory.com. What do we have in store for next week?
Well, I've got another Lincoln story. And this now he's elected president. And by the way, story about Lincoln. He was known as a great stump speaker, the best in Illinois. Even Stephen Douglas said that. But he would do things like to make a point, he would just stomp his foot really hard, or he would like bend his knees and almost his knees would touch the floor just for emphasis. You know, this was the Midwestern style, but he didn't do that when he came back east, so he kind of was a little more conservative.
That's so funny. Wow. It really is a side of all of this that we don't think about. But, of course, he had to have quirks and personality traits and all kinds of little idiosyncrasies. Yeah. It's so interesting.
Yeah, in Midwestern style, yeah.
Right, for sure.
Next week we're having after Lincoln's been elected, and Rhode Islanders are sending letters to one of their senators, James Simons, and they're saying, I don't care if these southern states are seceding. We have to be firm. We don't want any backtracking by our senators and compromising again with the South. We're through with compromising. So some very, probably the most tense time in American history. And it's interesting to read the reactions of Rhode Islanders.
It gets dramatic for sure. Christian McBurney, thanks very much for telling the stories. We really enjoy following you, and we thank you again.
Thank you, Bruce.
All right, Christian McBurney, and you can read his current article as well as many, many others in the rich history and the library of features on smallstatebighistory.com. And look for Christian's books in your local bookstore in the New England and history sections.